Everybody, and welcome to Tales from the Fog. I am your host, Casey, and with me, as always, is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's been a cool minute.
Yeah, we decided to take a little bit of a hiatus, kind of not meaning to, but between being sick and suddenly having a bunch of stuff to do, we just had a hard time finding where to fit in recording.
Yeah. That happens sometimes, and it's an odd time of year because usually we're clamoring for things to do this time of year. Like, you know, it's between the holidays and everyone's kind of like winding down, but for some reason, everything decided to happen in January and February for us. So yeah. We just accidentally skipped a couple of weeks, but it was all for good reason.
Yep. Part of that is we're both getting over being sick, as are probably many of you guys.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's getting over sick. I think we're both still legitimately sick.
Yeah. It's been a long time, too, which sucks. But
yeah.
Moving on to fun things.
There have been a lot of fun things.
God, what? Well, let's talk about some news first. So this weekend, if you're not doing anything, the Haunted Asylum up in Apple Valley is doing their Lights Out Couples Valentine's weekend haunted attraction. So you're going to go through a haunted house completely in the pitch dark all by yourself if you wanted to make the drive out to Apple Valley.
If it's like a romantic thing, you go in just the two of you?
That I'm sure it is.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Awesome. Yeah. Then they can like mess with each other.
I think it's only like $10 a person.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. It's worth the drive out there. I mean, if you're out in the area, definitely go check it out. But if you're in SoCal, like the rest of us, Orange County, LA, Riverside area, it's a cool attraction. It's worth the drive out there. And $10, you can't beat it for a fun night out. There's other places to eat and stuff up there. You can make a whole day out of it.
I know you can definitely make a day out of it. I don't know about nighttime stuff. I think that might be one of those sleepy towns.
Yeah.
But I haven't been up there in a long time, so I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm glad that there are things going on throughout the year, but it's interesting that they chose Valentine's Day.
Well, they do random stuff. They've done an Easter haunt. They've done a Christmas haunt. They've done, God, what's it called? St. Patrick's Day haunt. I mean, they just pick random holidays every year to do.
So they do a random one every year, but it's not like every holiday every year, right?
No, I think they've been doing the Valentine's Day one pretty solidly for the past couple years, if I can remember right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the other ones kind of bounce around.
Neat. Well, good on them. I'm glad they're keeping it going year-round.
Yeah.
Are there any other places doing that?
There are no other haunts open, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. What else is going on in the news front? We got
Midsummer Scream announced their 6 months till.
Yeah, we're just under 6 months now till Midsummer Scream 2018. I'm sure tickets will be going on sale soon.
I'm sure they will be. That's crazy that it's been 6 months already and that it's only 6 months until the next one.
Yeah. So speaking of that, one of the reasons why we've been so busy is the Decay Brigade got a show, not for anything Midsummer related or anything like that, but we got basically a brand new show that Veronica and I pretty much wrote from scratch, and then they're building the choreography on top of what we wrote, and it's a really cool idea. I mean, I don't know, maybe you can give them an idea of, I don't know what I'm allowed to say or not say.
Well, first of all, let's be honest, Casey wrote the show, I was in the room, so full disclosure, Casey wrote the show. He put the music together. He wrote the transitions. He did everything. I was just nearby when it happened. So, like, in the early days, I was close by because, like, you were still kind of learning how everything worked and how the music pieces kind of fit together and everything. But now you're so good at it that you don't need me anymore.
Well, what I meant by write is we actually had to write a script.
But I wasn't even there for that.
Yeah, but you okay, she edited my script.
How's okay. That? So I'm the editor on the IMDb page. Yeah. Not the writer. I'll be in the editing. So I'm also not entirely sure what we are allowed to disclose. It is a performance that could lead to many future performances if we do this right.
Yeah.
It's something unlike we have ever done. The performers within the group who are also performers outside of the group have done stuff along these lines. You know, not necessarily scary, not intense and that kind of thing. And more interactive, more like theater in the round type of stuff. So basically what this is, it's a Decade Brigade show for a new audience. And it's going to be really weird for us. But I think
would we say more cute than
it's
scary?
Adorable. It's not scary at all. In fact, our client specifically does not want us to be scary for this, which is why, you know, the performance aspect is stronger for us than the scaring aspect, which is how the Decade Brigade's been evolving anyway. We're still scary, but it's much more about the story we're telling.
Yeah.
So for our new client, it's that same kind of thing. It's more about a message and a story. And it's given us a really neat opportunity to flex muscles that I think some of our monsters may not have known that they had. And they're like seeing – I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah.
And when the audience is finally present and everything's put together and we're on site and we get – you know, we do this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we can say we are going to have it professionally recorded.
And
so
– yeah, recorded and photographed.
So we'll have, you know, hopefully some neat behind-the-scenes stuff as well, but, you know, we'll have a nice documentation of the project, and then we'll release that, and everyone can see what the crap we're talking about. But it's going to be really cool, and once you see what it is, you'll see what we mean by the potential. Because
yeah.
There are groups right now that do entertainment in the way that we're going to be doing and make a living out of it and do very, very well for themselves. And if the Decade Brigade has the option, you know, has the opportunity to do that, it would be a really big deal.
Yeah.
You know, for some, I mean, there are members of the brigade who really want to do this for their job, which seems kind of outlandish when you think like, oh my God, you're going to do your sliding for your job. Really? Like, are you 22 and working haunt and that's your only job ever? Like, we've all evolved past that, I hope. But if you haven't, that's okay. You do you, boo. But, you know, we're all older and we, you know. We need some steady work, and when you are part of the gig economy, you know, that steady stream of income is really important. And while Decade Brigade is more of a hobby than it is a job, this may be a turning point where it turns into something more, which would be super cool. So that's the top secret project. It's in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think the show's in 3 weeks.
So if we pop out another podcast before then, I'll see if I can get some more. I can see if we can, like, divulge a little bit more. I don't even know if it would be interesting. But anyway, the Decay Brigade's working and practicing and making something new and exciting. And in the meantime, we are also building our summer shows, which is, I mean, this show kind of took priority because, you know, it's
came
closer.
Up really fast.
So yeah, we thought we had months to prepare, and it turned out we had like less than a month.
Yeah, they cut our time back. They're like, oh, it's going to perform, you know, at this time. We're like, cool, we got this much time. And then all of a sudden they bumped it up on us.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I barely had a skeleton of a script written, so I had to like bust it out in a week.
But it sounds fun.
But yeah, it came out really good.
Yeah, when we Casey sent the music out to a couple of the managers in the brigade, and their response was like, oh my God, I'm welling up. Like, they got emotional listening to it. It's going to be something special. Maybe borderline cheesy, but awesome. I definitely think our audience that we're tailoring this show for will appreciate it.
Yes.
Still working on theming and storyline and everything for the summer shows, but honestly, since that's a kind of back burner, we haven't really been thinking about it too much. I think that's...
And it's kind of hard, too, because we have to kind of get basically what Rick and them want out of the show. Like, you know, usually we're like, they want it to be this long and, you know, this many shows a day and this mm-hmm. length. And they kind of have an idea of how it's going to flow. And especially this year with them changing how the Hall of Shadows is going to look and everything that's going on with that, there might be more constraints or more freedom. We don't know.
We don't know. So, I mean, ideally, it'd be great if they can put us up against a wall and we can have a wall of bleachers on one side. I mean, that's expensive. Renting bleachers is very expensive. But,
yeah.
You know, something to consider. It depends on how much you want to highlight a performance. You know, like that might be something to consider. Also, if someone else wants to use that space to perform while we're not performing, you know, those bleachers could also come in handy.
Yep.
Something to think about. Always about the presentation, upping it from the year before and that kind of thing.
For sure.
What else is new?
Well, you had an audition.
I did. This was crazy.
Yeah, tell us all about that.
So I think I told you guys last year when I auditioned for Action Horizons. They are the guys who do the special effects show. They're the guys in charge of the Raptors.
Waterworld.
Waterworld is a big one. They had their auditions for SES and some Harry Potter bits and the Raptors.
That's right. They do the Harry Potter. Excuse me. Both the guys shows, and the gals. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Thermstrom and whatever the girls' school is.
Yeah, the Awesome Dancers.
Yeah, they come through Action Horizons as well.
They do. So last year, I think I had done one audition before that. I was super baby new. I, you know, the only reason I attended was for the experience, and I did not do very well. I was not prepared emotionally, physically, but that's the idea as you go and you kind of figure out what they're looking for and what you can do to improve your own performance so that maybe next time you have a better shot. So I have not stopped training since last year.
Yeah.
Basically, like this last, our summer shows, the year before that, I have not stopped training since then. So I had like a couple of months of training last year. I've been training consistently, so now I've got an entire year for this year. Did not raise my expectations, however, because I know the kind of people who show up, and I did not think in a million years that I would ever have a shot. But I knew I wanted the experience, and I wanted to meet these people. So I went, kept trying to drag members of the Decade Brigade, and I got one of them to come with me. Shout out, James. Good job. So we carpooled up there at the bullet crack of dawn. And we were one of the first people there, which got us into the first group when we finally got in, which was awesome. The physical requirements were the same as last year. We had to do, we started with some pull-ups. And if you couldn't do any more pull-ups, you just had to hang on for dear life. And then the little shuttle run where you run, I don't know, like 20 feet, 30 feet. You about face and you drop to the floor and do quick little push-up, and then you stand up, and then you run to the other side and do the same thing for a minute. And they don't want you to sprint. They just want you to kind of, like, keep pace, I guess. So you do that. And then you plank for a minute. And then you do, like, I call it the Stairmaster. It's like one of those plyo boxes.
Yeah.
But you have to stand up, like, you know, like a stand up and then get back down and, like, switch legs while you're going. All of this happens for a minute, like each cycle is a minute. And then burpees for a minute. Fun thing about the burpees, we had been practicing with the Decade Brigade already for this upcoming show, so we had actually been doing Slurpees, which is the sliding burpee. Use your imagination, it's probably that. So we were doing that. Sliding is like doing lunges, so doing the Stairmaster thing was something we had already been practicing. Casey and I do planks as part of our regular workout.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shuttle run is also part of sliding. So basically the show kind of prepped me for this audition without me even realizing it, along with all the, you know, body weight training that I do in the bedroom. Giggity. Is that what you think? But so my performance from last year to this year was way better. Like, I would say I did twice as many reps and everything and was way more confident, had way more fun, and was able to enjoy the process a lot more, having gone through it and then just being physically more comfortable with my own abilities. You know, even though they're not the best that they can be, I knew that I had worked really hard to get where I was, yeah. and that felt good. That was a nice feeling. So we get pulled out of there, and then they kind of confer, and then they gather everybody who's in that group, and they're like, okay, you know, the following numbers, please stay. We want to talk to you a little bit more. Everybody else, thanks for auditioning. We're glad that you came. So they go through the numbers. James and my numbers both don't get called. And we're like, you know what? That's okay. We came here for the experience. We got the experience. We had a great time. And so we left. So we're on the freeway coming back. And I get a phone call. And it's one of the ladies who works at Action Horizons. She's like, hey, I'm really sorry, but you slipped through the cracks. Can you come back and for callbacks? And I was like, excuse me? Are you sure? She's like, yeah, we wanted to keep you, but you know, for whatever reason, we didn't call your number. And I was like, yes, I will come back. So poor James had to stay with me because we carpooled. And so we went back. We were on the freeway for like, I don't know, half hour. Drove the half hour back to the place. And then I went up to them just to make sure, because at this point I'm like, and so she looks through it and I see, sure enough, I see my headshot and resume in the stack of keeps for the next part of auditions. And I'm like, holy crap. There were like a gazillion people there at this one. And they didn't have enough time for everybody. So they wanted everyone to come back tomorrow, which was Wednesday. So I got there and now I'm at a part of the auditions that I've never done before. I've know that like some tumbling was involved and I knew some stage combat was involved, but I hadn't seen it yet. So suddenly my confidence from day one, which was through the roof, day two, it's like barely floating above the water. Like I'm terrified. I'm by myself. I'm surrounded by like elite athletes. Everyone there looks like they've been doing it their whole lives. Suddenly I've got imposter syndrome. I'm thinking that I shouldn't be here. I haven't worked for long enough. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I had to like kind of shake my brain and like get it to relax and be like, stop it. You're here for experience. You worked really hard to get to where you are and it showed and you made it to the next round. Like there should not be any level of guilt associated with that, but it happens. And I'm pretty sure it happens to anybody who works really hard and then earns something from it. So I feel like, you know, a noob among masters, which I am. I've only been doing this for, what, like a year and a half? Like, not that long.
Yeah.
Well,
probably like closer to two, but
hardcore training, like a year and a half to 2 years. I mean, but this is a new world for me. And I'm old compared to a lot of these people. Like, I'm 34? Am I 34?
Sure.
I don't know how old I am. I'm in my 30s somewhere. And these are kids, like majority of them are in their 20s. Or they're in like their 40s and 50s and have been doing it for decades. So I'm like in between the two piles of people. Anyway, so we do some tumbling passes, which is a lot like the Knott's stunt show auditions, which I remember telling you guys about. Where it's like you do some shoulder rolls, dive rolls, you do some reverse rolls, and then I don't know, some other kind of roll.
Sushi roll?
Sushi roll, poke bowl. And then they paired us up to do the stunt fighting. So now this is my second time ever doing fight choreo. And it was not quite as awkward as the very first time. Still pretty damn awkward. Having come from a dance background, it helped a little. Being able to know where my body was moving through space, being able to take direction, remember choreography. These are still completely foreign moves to me. And I didn't get to train in the way that I wanted to train, you know, well, only having a month notice, but, you know, I should have been practicing this whole time, but I wasn't. Serendipitously, I'm paired with the son of one of the founders of Action Horizons. I was like, all right, thank you, universe. So kid was super sweet. Obviously knew what the hell he was doing. Obviously saw the amateur nature of my approach to this and, you know, did his best to kind of coach me through. He was really, you know, really nice, but he can tell it kind of like the little kid helping the old lady cross the street.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of that vibe, but that's okay. It was super fun. And I feel like I kind of lucked out because this kid really knew what they were looking for and how they watch the auditions and how they watch the performers. And like, that's more insight to me than, you know, I could have been practicing this choreography for months, but I could have been practicing it wrong. Like just spending 10 minutes with that guy I learned, like, all those tiny little things that I would never have considered from the performance aspect. So that was super fun. We were the very last ones to go. Like, they brought everyone back in the room, and you had to cycle through, and all the groups got to do their things. So we were the very last ones. We got to watch everybody go through, watch everyone make their mistakes, watch all the veterans work their magic. Didn't help tremendously because I was super nervous, and I know there are parts that I missed. And the ones who moved forward were the ones that didn't skip any of the points that they made to make sure that you remembered, and I know I missed one at least. So did not advance to the next round after that. Did not keep me from smiling from ear to ear the entire drive home. I was such a happy camper. Had their schedule aligned the way that they wanted it, I would not have been invited to day two. Yeah. That fight choreo and the stunt rolls and everything would have been done on day one. But I still feel like I got called back, and that still makes me feel really, really good. It's such a huge improvement over last year.
Yeah.
And it was super motivating now going into sliding. So I go from this audition, which is in LA, doing something that I'm really new at and not very good at, driving to slider practice, where suddenly I am, like, not to brag, but I'm like one of the better ones who do the thing that we do. And it was like going from this awkward, I don't know where my body should be in space, to suddenly my knee, I strap my knee pads on. I'm like, I know what to do. It just felt really freaking good.
Yeah.
I was like, now I can relax. Now I know what the hell I'm doing. And it was, and with other people who spoke that same language. Yes. Where everyone who was there felt good doing what they were doing. There was none of this needing to impress anybody, needing to get called back for something. You're not working to get cast. You're just there to have fun. And, like, that's what I really needed after 2 days of stress and balls about joining the stunt company, was to go and be with people who they just wanted to slide and have fun. And that's what we did.
So, question. The Decay Brigade has never really done official auditions. We always kind of just acquire people that we kind of seek out, you know, we kind of watch and see who's who and who's doing what and what their attitude is and everything. Do you think it would benefit the brigade more to hold an audition like Action Horizons, where it's like physical and sliding ability and et cetera, et cetera? Because, I mean, we have had people attempt to join the group that maybe didn't have the stamina to perform.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. And I think it may have been one that's been discussed among the managers before. I think that the way that the group functions is more about the way the personalities interact more than it is about the raw talent of the performer.
Yeah.
Because talent can be curated. Like, you can kind of make that grow in somebody. Because, I mean, what talent is supposed to be, like, your natural gift along with all of the hard work that you put into it to make yourself really good is how talented you are, right?
Yeah.
So you can start with almost nothing. But if you put in all that hard work, then, you know, then you're really good at what you do. So, but it's more about how are you going to make the other people in the group feel when you're part of that group? How are you going to lift everybody up?
Yeah.
And have them naturally want to lift you up as well. It's more than just like being really good or jumping really far or, you know, doing four spins, you know, in one go. Like, it's so much more than the technical crap, because anyone can learn how to do it. But if you're an asshole, no one wants to hang out with you. What benefit do you add to a group of people who are already kind of on the outside doing what they do and are constantly struggling to bring this event into the, you know, into the kind of like the public consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can find all of that in a classic audition.
Well, I think it'd be a mix of what we do. So start out with the audition, make sure they're physically capable, make sure that they are adequate sliders, then do what we normally do, which is start inviting them to practices and stuff and just see how they interact with people and how they get along with the group and all that kind of stuff before making a final judgment.
There's definitely there's room for improvement in that process.
Yeah.
That's true. And as we get bigger, I think that that is something that we do need to clean up. But because it isn't 100% fair right now. I mean, let's be honest. But, you know, it's at the same time, it's kind of worked. Like, the people that we have on the team really, like, really contribute and make it what it is. And, you know, they lift everybody up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It's a really interesting topic. It's not easy to pinpoint. But, yeah, I mean, it's something that could use some thought in the future. Mm-hmm. But I know this year they don't want to add anybody. But if you're out there in the world and you want to someday be a Decade Brigade slider, think about this. It's not just about being a badass slider. It's about who you are and how you treat other people. And are you grateful for what you have and what you've earned? And are you grateful for the people around you who help you earn those things? Just general douchebaggery doesn't vibe well with the group.
Yeah.
So something to consider. That's all I'll say.
Netflix. No, not Netflix. Amazon. There's so many streaming services. Amazon has an amazing new series out called Electric Dreams. And I've watched a couple episodes, and it's freaking amazing. It's not for the kiddos. It's like, you know, there's nudity and stuff occasionally. But it's basically like if Black Mirror is this generation's Twilight Zone, Electric Dreams is this generation's Outer Limits.
Oh.
It's not as hardcore as Black Mirror. Like, you don't feel like you got punched in the gut.
Yeah.
But it's just more like, here's a really weird story. Enjoy it. And, I've watched two or three episodes, and all of them were amazing.
Are they standalone episodes, or do they all kind of link together?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't finished. But as far as I know, they're all standalone episodes. And they're, like, kind of the same idea of Black Mirror. It's, the first episode was about cop in the future, and it's played by Anna Paquin. I mean, the cast of characters, like Steve Buscemi is in one of them. I haven't watched that one, but he's in one of these episodes.
Oh, cool. Because
I flipped forward to see who was in the episodes. So they got an amazing cast for every single episode. So in this one, it was Anna Paquin, and I can't remember who the guy was. But the idea was it was this cop in the future, and she's trying to hunt down these guys who, like, murdered, like, 15 cops or something. It was, like, this big massacre.
Wow.
And she's, like, all stressed out about it. So she has this girlfriend who convinces her to go into, like, a virtual reality realm kind of a thing to, like, relax because she's all stressed out. So she goes into this virtual reality realm. And the idea is like, it provides you with whatever your brain comes up with. So, like, the nose just, like, attached to your head. And your brain, it's almost like you're dreaming, right? When you're dreaming, your brain comes up with these amazing worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, your brain comes up with the world that you go into. So, you don't know who you're going to be, what you're going to do, or anything. You just put this thing on, and you're in another world.
Whoa.
And so, she goes into this other world, and she's this guy. And he is the founder of this tech company. And it's in the past, so it's like the 2000s, like almost present day.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his own virtual reality thing. And when he puts his on, he becomes Anna Paquin's character.
What?
And so it's like they're crisscrossing, and the whole time you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
Like which one are you looking
at? Which one, like, are both these realities world real, and they just happen to be crossing? Or is one fake and one real? Like, what's going on? And so it's a trip. Like, all of them are really fun.
That's awesome. Are they, like, scary in any way, or are they just kind of, like, bizarre?
Of the ones I've seen, none of them are really scary. They're just bizarre, weird episodes. It's definitely sci-fi, so if you like weird-ass sci-fi, it's pretty cool. It's a good show.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Other news front, this time it is Netflix. They dropped Cloverfield. I guess during the Super Bowl, there was just a commercial saying, hey, Cloverfield on Netflix. And then, like, afterwards, the trailer came out and it said, available now. So as of the end of the Super Bowl, you could jump into Netflix and watch the brand new Cloverfield movie.
What an interesting choice of marketing.
The day the trailer came out is the day that they released it on Netflix. Like
no
crazy.
Hype, no nothing. I guess they figure why. Like, you have to hype people to leave the house to go to the movies, but you don't have to hype anyone up to turn on Netflix.
Yeah, it's
and
like
start
we're
watching
home.
A movie.
Let's just watch it. From all reports that I've seen, I haven't watched it yet. I was going to, but being sick, I just didn't want to stay up late. But from the people that I have seen it, everybody seems to really like it. They said it's different, which between Cloverfield and Cloverfield Lane, they were both very different movies. So I expect whatever it is. I think it's called, oh shit, I can't remember what it's called. It's Cloverfield something.
It's almost like
Paradox. There you go.
Oh my God, I don't know. My brain is fried.
Oh, I know.
Cauldron?
Yeah, the Cauldron opened.
All right.
We haven't been to it yet. We're going on Friday.
We have a date planned.
Yeah,
I'm
we
excited.
Do.
So, we're going to talk about it later, but I'm taking Casey on a date to Downtown Disney. And before we go to the date at Downtown Disney, we're going to visit the Cauldron. So, yes. We'll let you know how that goes when that happens. But we hear it's gorgeous. I've seen pictures. It's adorable in there. It looks super awesome. Yeah. And it looks like something that would be in, like, downtown LA or Hollywood somewhere. But the fact that it's accessible and super close is kind of awesome.
I'm interested to see how it does. Like, the location is interesting. I can see it maybe doing well because a lot of people that love Scary Farm are also Knott's APs, so they might just go there and hang out and then go to the park. But as far as like location, I think like something like downtown Fullerton would be a little more up that kind of alley. I don't know. It's
maybe, but then downtown Fullerton, it's fighting with the big fish on that street or in that area. This is kind of it's an interesting choice.
Yeah,
to be so close to Knott's. Like, I see the opportunity, and I'm sure that they are going to do very well in October. But then what about all the other, like, what about the entire rest of the year? Like, do they have a plan? Like, are they going to, I don't know, have events or something? Like, I see the tie to Scary Farm, but I don't know. I'm not worried for them. I've never seen their business plan. I don't know what they've got going on, but it's a really cool idea and it looks gorgeous. And I hope that that's enough to keep people coming in, you know, consistently throughout the year.
Yeah. And our friends at Sinister Point helped design it, which is awesome.
Partly why it looks so awesome in there.
Yeah.
They're really good at that.
And then after the Cauldron, we're going to go learn the secrets of the Empire.
It's going to be fun.
Gonna test out the new Void VR attraction at Downtown Disney, finally. We tried to get tickets and like for weeks, and like every time that we could go and it said that it was available, they'd be like, oh, there's only one ticket available. It's like, really? One ticket, guys? So then finally we're like, let's just go a couple weeks out and just make sure that we can get in together.
And finally, it's coming up. So we're hoping that whatever plague we're both carrying is gone by the time we go on our date night, which is now just a couple of days away.
Yeah.
we're
kind of close here.
So we might be hacking in our helmets, but we're going to make the best of it. It's going to be a great time. And
well, the good thing is people in VR, some people get woozy. So if we're sick and get woozy, that'd be really fun.
I was going to say I don't get motion sickness, but I take that back because I get car sick. But I've
but
never
did you
gotten
get
sick
in VR. You didn't get dizzy at all when we did the one at Knott's, right?
No, not at all.
So you should be okay.
Hope so. We'll find out.
Yeah. You can start taking bets on which one of us throw up now.
I would actually say it would be you.
Probably because I was a little dizzy after the one at Knott's.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this one's three times as long.
Oh, wow. Is it like a video game or is it just like watching a movie?
It is mix a haunted house at Knott's with VR.
All right.
So you actually progress. Like, you're not cord. There's no cords, right? You have a backpack with a computer in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the helmet on. And then there's sensors that track your movements through the building. And you actually move through the building so you can walk around and everything like that.
So you're not going to, like, smack into something because the...
No, because if there's a wall in virtual reality, there's a wall there's there a wall in real life. But then on the same token, if there's, like, a button or a switch or something in VR that's there in real life, you can actually switch it and it'll do stuff.
So is it, like, part escape room type thing as well?
Where I think there's, like, you go in with a mission and you have to complete the mission. So whatever that entails... You have to... I know you're going undercover as a stormtrooper.
Ah, so you're not actually a stormtrooper.
No, you're going undercover. You're part of the rebellion. You're going undercover as a stormtrooper.
Oh, my God.
To steal the secrets of the Empire.
How cool! Fun. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so fun.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to be in the Star War.
We're in the Star War. At least one of them.
At least one of them.
One of the Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Battle.
Galactic warfare. Oh my god, we're dying.
We're dying. We should probably just call it.
I can't breathe anymore.
I think we had a good run at it on this one. We'll be back next time with more content, less hacking. How's that?
Oh god, I hope so. It's challenging. There's probably all sorts of horrible clicks from my stupid cough drop.
That's all right. That's the miracle of editing.
Oh god. My favorite phrase, we'll get it in post.
Yeah, we'll get it in post.
Excellent.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us and sticking around with us through all this craziness. Hopefully we will see you soon at Midsummer Scream or any other local area events that will be happening soon. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to plug. I don't think I do. You can follow us on Facebook at Tales from the Fog, Instagram at Tales from the Fog. You can follow Veronica at
Veronica Voices on Instagram.
And until next time, guys, we'll see you in the fog.
Bye, guys.
Bye.